Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome into the week three edition of the Temple Made Bird Gang podcast. I am your host, Andrew McDevitt. Shortly, I will be joined by my good friend and huge Eagles fan, Chase Sr. We're talking week three, Eagles victory over the New York Jets, 24-17. First time the Eagles have got in the win column this season. Sam Bradford, still a bit lackluster, 14 of 28 coming into the game, 118 yards, and right about now we are joined by Chase Sr. Chase, can you hear me?
McDev, I'm right here. How are you doing, man?
Outstanding, man. Always better after an Eagles win. 24-17, first time in the win column against the Jets. Sam Bradford, he's not there yet, but progress. A win is a win.
Yeah, I guess we can thank the Pope and his visit to Philadelphia for blessing the Eagles as they went up to MetLife and got that much-needed victory. I think the whole city is able to take a nice deep breath, as well as the team and the organization. It was not pretty by any means, but you come up with a win against a team that was rolling at the time with one of the best defenses in the NFL, and you can't really complain, but there's a lot to take away from it, and I think more negative than positive.
It wasn't pretty, like you said. Similar to the Pope visit, it wasn't pretty. They didn't necessarily get as many people as they thought they would here in Philadelphia. The restaurants weren't happy. The mayor said negative things about the media and the way that they handled it. But nonetheless, a win is a win. The Pope's out of here safe, and just like the Eagles, a win is a win. My problem, like you said, a lot of negatives. Sam Bradford is just not there yet. And we were told that these moves made in the offseason were to make the Eagles – to take them from a good team to a great team. And right now, I don't see great in Sam Bradford at all.
I don't either. And it's highly concerning that through three games, he's been unable to throw the ball deep downfield. And not only that, he looks skittish in the pocket. When there's pressure around him and the pocket gets muddy, he tries to get the ball out quickly. And you're not going to win in the NFL and compete for a Super Bowl if you're checking down all the time. You have to throw the deep ball. You have to keep the defense honest. The Eagles established the running game, and I thought that should have helped Sam Bradford a little bit, but he was just inaccurate. And I think we're going to tell in the next couple of weeks which type of quarterback Sam Bradford is. Is he the guy that didn't have a lot of talent in St. Louis and suffered from injury-plagued years, or is this a guy who is never going to live up to the expectations of being the number one pick out of Oklahoma when he was looked at as a surefire star as a Sooner after winning the Heisman Trophy? I'm pretty concerned with what he's doing right now, because we're not really seeing any of the prerequisites or any of the attributes of a top-tier quarterback. To me, he's looking like a middle-tier to a bottom-tier quarterback for the Eagles.
I've been calling him Captain Checkdown. He has not completed a pass over 20 yards in the air. When he's in between 10 and 19 yards, he has one TD to three interceptions, 29th in the league in passer rating, 5.8 yards per attempt, which is only ahead of Ryan Mallett. People are talking about, you know, trades for Kirk Cousins, the Redskins quarterback we're going to see this week. Colin Kaepernick, who struggled for quite some time now in San Francisco. Right now, there are a lot better options than Sam Bradford, and this goes back to the hype leading up to the draft about Marcus Mariota and the reuniting of Chip Kelly and Mariota and what it would have taken to do that deal. And you look back, and whatever it took, they should have done it, because clearly – from what we've seen in the first 3 weeks, Sam Bradford is not the guy that we thought Chip Kelly could tailor-make his offense around.
And if they wanted to move up for Mariota, I think the price might have been a little bit too steep for the Eagles' liking. And if we are going to look at positives right now, it's that Eagles' defense. They were fantastic, and they've really played 2.5 games that have been very stout. And if you were to move up to Marcus Mariota, a lot of those pieces that are on that defense right now, a lot of those guys that are thriving would have had to have been traded. This is a blue-collar city in Philadelphia that likes the hard-nosed defense, that comes up with a lot of stops, but we've been kind of forced to change that mentality with Chip Kelly coming into town. Look, if there's a positive, it has to be that defense, because if they continue playing like this, in which they have improved every single week, then this is a defensive unit that is built to win right now. And then if you're going to trust that offensive mastermind in Chip Kelly, you have to think that he's going to somehow turn this offense around. And let's not forget, coming into the season, Sam Bradford hadn't played a regular season game in nearly 700 days. He's got all the arm strength in the world. He's got one of the strongest cannons in the NFL. He can make the throws, but he's been inaccurate. Is that because he gets a little timid in the pocket? That could be, because that's what we've seen so far. Or is it a guy who's trying to knock off Russ? Again, we're going to find out soon. But it's good that this defense is showing up right now, because in prior years, it didn't matter what the offense did. The defense was just terrible at the end of the game.
I'm over the Russ excuse for Sam Bradford. We're one game away from being a quarter of the way into the season, and then going back to the Mariota deal. So the initial offer that was speculated was Fletcher Cox, Michael Kendricks, Brandon Boykin, and a package of three or so first-round picks. Well, you traded away Boykin for virtually nothing, a fifth-round pick. Michael Kendricks hasn't been healthy. You did draft a guy who's played really well in Jordan Hicks, so it would have come down to really Fletcher Cox, who, no doubt about it, he's an all-pro.
He's one of the best defensive linemen in the game right now. Yeah,
I agree with you, but at the same time, I would go back and I would have done the deal. I think that you are nothing without a franchise quarterback, and right now, with Sam Bradford on a one-year deal, you know, it's up in the air if he's back next year or not. So you gave up Nick Foles and a second-round pick for 1 year of an experiment quarterback.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I would have given up the house to try to get Mariota, because you can't beat having a franchise quarterback in the NFL. You need one to win a Super Bowl. Just look at the history of all of the teams that have won the Super Bowl, with the exception of a couple. I'm just saying, now that they didn't, we're seeing that this defense is really thriving right now with
good.
The pieces that they do have, and that wouldn't be the case if they did try to trade for Marcus Mariota. But, hey, Chip Kelly and the Eagles, they have to work with what they have right now. I think we have a pretty good idea of what that defense is. Heck, what Jordan Hicks and Eric Rowe did, both rookies made a couple of huge plays in that game. You look ahead to the future, and it's huge that those guys were able to come up with those type of performances, especially when those young guys are gaining confidence, which is the most important thing. Again, the offense, you got to think that with Chip Kelly calling the shot, it's going to improve, right? But again, you go back to these concerns, it's not that Sam Bradford has been pressured a lot while dropping back. He's had somewhat of a clean pocket in the running game. That offensive line has certainly struggled, but These Bradford struggles derive mechanical issues, which, like you said, Andrew, we're almost a quarter way through the season. You'd think that he'd have that figured out by now.
Exactly. I want to get back to the running game, like you mentioned. We talked last week at this point about, you know, we were concerned DeMarco Murray hadn't got it going. And after we finished up last week, it came out that DeMarco Murray wasn't even going to play. He tweaked his hamstring in Thursday's practice and didn't get on the field Sunday, but that didn't stop the Eagles. They finally found it in the running game. Ryan Matthews, 25 carries, 108 yards. He got in the end zone receiving-wise. And then on the other option there is just Darren Sproles could be the best move that Chip Kelly has made in his time in Philadelphia. They got Darren Sproles from New Orleans. I believe it was for a fifth-round pick, fourth or fifth-round pick.
Right.
And now he had an 89-yard punt return for a touchdown. He had a rushing touchdown. He's the first player to do that in two games since Gale Sayers. These are greats, man. And Darren Sproles is just, every time he touches the ball, you don't know what's going to happen. He's the most electric player on the field, and he's awesome to watch. And it's fun to see that maybe they could figure this all out with Matthews and Sproles, and then we get Murray back in the mix this week. Then maybe you start to talk more about the mastermind that is Chip Kelly, and we hope that he can figure it out to get up to par with what this defense has been doing.
There's so many moving parts. Two new guards. You have a couple of new wide receivers sprinkled into the lineup. You have two new running backs who are being implemented into this offense. And a lot of these guys are trying to learn this scheme along with Sam Bradford. So I'm not totally surprised that this offense has gotten off to a slow start. I just thought they would have put better numbers up than they have through three games. But Darren Sproles is one of the most electrifying players in the National Football League. There is no question about it. Anytime he puts his hands on the ball, he has an opportunity to take it to the house. And you can't say that about a lot of guys around the league. And it's crazy that this guy is 11 years into his career. Every stop that he's been, both in San Diego, New Orleans, and Philly, he has been just a terrific playmaker. And he brings so much to the table through both the passing game, the running game. He's really fun to watch. And he saved the Eagles season last year at a couple of moments, and he's doing it again this year. If he doesn't return that punt 89 yards, we're looking at a team that could be 0-3 right now.
That was the spark that finally started the offense going, because on offense, like I said earlier, they can't stretch the field. Bradford has not completed a pass that went 20 yards in the air. They have 13 combined catches outside of Jordan Matthews from their receivers for 122 yards. Aguilar, Miles Austin, Josh Huff, and Riley Cooper have virtually been absent the entire season. If it wasn't for Jordan Matthews, then they wouldn't have anything from their receiving game. On Sunday, Bradford only completed passes to four different guys: Ertz, Matthews, and two running backs, Matthews and Sproles. So at some point, you're going to need these guys on the outside to step up, and they haven't done it yet.
Jordan Matthews was the only receiver to catch a pass from Bradford on Sunday, and that is also highly concerning when you look at the production of this lineup. But Nelson Aguilar, he's run some really good routes. He beat Darrell Revis a couple of times on Sunday.
And
if Sam Bradford would have made the correct throws and he was a little bit more accurate with the football, both in that game against Atlanta and also against Dallas, Nelson Aguilar would be putting up pretty impressive numbers through three games for a rookie. I think he gives you that element of a deep threat that can take the top off of the defense, but Bradford just looks really hesitant to throw that deep ball. Look, if this offense is going to – the wide receivers need to step up. Sam Bradford obviously needs to become more accurate both with his reads and his throws, and they have to take some shots downfield just to keep the defense honest, because if they don't throw the ball deep downfield, teams are going to stack the box. And we saw the problems that arise with that both in the first two games as well as last season when the Eagles went up against some physical defenses. But Bradford has to improve, yes, no doubt about it. And the wide receivers have to get a little bit better, because these aren't guys that, with the exception of Aguilar, have great speed. They're not going to really separate. And they have to catch the ball when Sam Bradford actually does deliver it, because those momentum plays can really get an offense going and also give a quarterback who hasn't played much in the last couple of years some much-needed confidence.
The Eagles are currently leading the league in drops. Aguilar, though, he's shown flashes. He has four catches for 36 yards. It's a similar start to what Jordan Matthews did in the first 2 weeks of last season. Targets
exactly.
Here and there.
That's a good point.
Not too many catches. But then week three against the Redskins, he broke out for eight catches, 59 yards, and two touchdowns. Guess who the opponent is this week in week four for the Eagles? The Redskins. Maybe this
there
is a chance for Nelson Aguilar to break out and give Sam Bradford the help that he's been looking for.
For sure. And you can't really expect a rookie to come out of the gates firing. You don't really see that too often. You see it with some of the special ones. Look at Odell Beckham Jr. did last year, but still, he was hurt for the first couple of games of last season. So he was able to kind of ease his way into the lineup, and then once he got his feet wet, he took off and running. He looks like one of the best wide receivers in the game right now, potential to be one of the best all time. I'm not saying that Nelson Aguilar is going to be a wide receiver of that caliber, but we saw what he was able to do in the preseason. He does have some speed. We also haven't seen the Eagles throw a lot of bubble screens to him, which I think is a play that he can kind of thrive. It's an easy catch. He doesn't have to focus on a route. He's not really covered immediately. He kind of just takes one step ahead of the line of scrimmage, takes a couple of steps back, takes it an easy throw, and then lets his feet do the rest of the work. There's a play like that I expect the Eagles to start to implement a little bit more. We saw that they started to implement the wheel route a little bit last week, and that was very successful. If Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles hang on to a couple of footballs and Sam Bradford makes a better throw or two, we might be talking about a totally different ball game. But it's those type of throws that can both give Sam Bradford confidence, give the wide receiver some confidence, and also just get this offense moving and getting them some type of momentum that they haven't really been able to sustain so far in these three games.
The one thing that I'm going to take away as a huge positive from Sunday's game is how they were able to get so much production and a win without four starters, DeMarco Murray, Michael Kendricks, Kiko Alonso, and Cedric Thornton. We talked about Ryan Matthews and how he stepped up in Murray's absence and how Hicks stepped up in Kendricks and Alonso's absence, but we didn't talk about Brandon Bear and Cedric Thornton's absence. This is a guy who hasn't been in the league very long, but he's 30 years old. He had four tackles on Sunday, and more importantly, he had three pass deflections on key points in the game. And when you're going to get Ryan Fitzpatrick dropping back 50-plus times in a game, that's something that's going to bode well for the Eagles. And Brandon Bear did a great job of getting his hands up in the passing lane and stepping up in the absence of a guy that has the potential to be in the Pro Bowl this year in Cedric Thornton.
If you add Josh Huff to that equation, that was five starters who were out against the Jets. So that makes it even more impressive that they were able to come up with a win. Brandon Bear was absolutely terrific on Sunday. If you can't get to the quarterback, I think it's essential that you try to get your hands up to try to knock down a pass. That is so disruptive to an offense that when they're trying to get something going and it looks like you have a clear lane, the quarterback's about to make a big throw for a gain, and then a defensive lineman just steps up and puts his hands up and blocks the pass. Those are huge, huge plays because then it backs up an offense and makes that next down even tougher to convert. And I thought Brandon Bear had a pretty funny quote either on Sunday after the game or on Monday. He said, "Yeah, that shows I'm not a great pass rusher because what I was able to do is get my hands up. I couldn't get to the quarterback." But, hey, like you said, Andrew, I mean, he's 30 years old. He went to Oregon. Chip Kelly likes him. Hasn't had a lot of opportunities in the NFL. This was his first start, and he really, really thrived. And I think with that performance, he earned himself a lot more snaps because he wasn't bad against the run. He was pretty good against the pass, especially with those pass blocks. And if you have a guy who's going to be so disruptive at the line of scrimmage, you got to give him some reps.
I agree completely. Some of the guys, I looked at the injuries from last week. Cedric Thornton is day-to-day. He's listed as day-to-day. He hasn't practiced this week. Michael Kendricks and D'Amico Ryan Michael Kendricks and DeMarco Murray both took part in practice on Tuesday. But the two big things that came out of Sunday were Andrew Gardner and Cody Parkey now on the IR. They brought in Julian Vandervelde for literally the eighth time that the Eagles have signed him. And then they brought in Caleb Sturgis to replace Cody Parkey. What's your level of concern with those two big injuries?
Definitely concerned with Gardner going out because we were looking at an offensive line unit that was already very, very thin depth-wise coming into the season. And now you lose a guard who they just signed to a nice extension, a guy who Chip Kelly had a lot of hope for heading into this season, a guy that he had praised even through his struggles through the first two games and some change. So Matt Tobin's going to take his place. Dennis Kelly might also get some rest, but it's going to be Tobin who's going to be the starting guard in place of Gardner, who I don't think is as good, but that's not really saying much because I don't think Gardner is the starting caliber guard in this league. But an offensive line that didn't really have a lot of continuity now has to deal with another new starter. And then when you flip the script and you look at Cody Parkey, he struggled towards the end of last year. He struggled all throughout preseason. If he makes that kick against the Falcons on Monday night in week one, the Eagles could have come up with a win. I don't think he's been right for quite a while, but the guy before the game tore three of the five groin muscles in that area of his body, and he was still able to knock down a pretty big field goal on Sunday. And I could tell something wasn't right with him because he didn't reach the end zone in any of his kicks. So
yeah,
it's the
first kick,
though, he wasn't right. But when you bring a field goal kicker in the middle of the season, that has disaster written on the wall because if Sturgis doesn't perform well in that first game, a lot of Eagles fans are going to be calling for his head, and then you have to try out more kickers. So this could all go down the toilet and end up pretty bad for the Eagles because you lose a guard at a position that was thin, and then you're bringing in a new field goal kicker who hasn't been really spectacular in his whole career.
Yeah, 77% in Miami. Staying with the theme of Florida, this, in my opinion, we haven't heard really much about this, but Tico Alonso went down to visit Dr. James Andrews, the ACL specialist, on Monday. And when you're talking about ACLs and you're talking about Dr. James Andrews, it's generally not good. And we've heard nothing. I just picked up before we got on here that he's going to be in Florida until Friday. So that's not good news if you're the Eagles dealing with the same ACL that Kiko is coming off from last season.
Yeah, I was reading up on this well. So he's with Dr. James Andrews, and he's going to get his ACL scoped to determine the severity of the injury. If that ACL tendon isn't damaged, then he'll only have to rehab a couple of weeks, and then he can make a return to the regular season. But if there is a lot of damage to that previously surgically repaired ACL, then that means he has to get another ACL surgery, and that will cause him to miss the rest of the season. At least you have Jordan Hicks, who was picked up in the third round in the draft out of Texas. He's made a hell of a play both last weekend and the week prior against Dallas. I know it's early, but it looks like he could be a decent player, and then you get Kendricks back. So your depth there doesn't really take a big hit, especially when D'Amico Ryans is continuing to come back from that Achilles tear that he suffered last year.
Yeah, Hicks has been really good for the Birds. Two turnovers this week. He forced a fumble against the Cowboys. So, you know, it looks okay for the Eagles at the inside linebacker position if Alonso can't come back. Obviously, you'd love to see him come back. He's a quality player. But nonetheless, they have the depth at that position, what they don't have at the guard position. So let's look forward to this week's game against the Redskins. Chip Kelly, 3-1 in his career against the Redskins. Redskins off to a shaky start this year, but what are you thinking about this game? We both of us predicted last week that they would lose to the Jets. Thank goodness we were wrong, but what do you think this week?
The Redskins got off to a decent start week one against the Dolphins, then ended up coming out on top late in that game. And then in week two, they took down a Rams team that was coming off a pretty big win against the Seahawks in week one. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Redskins. I never really do, just because of how that organization is run and their evaluation of talent. I don't think Kirk Cousins is a great quarterback from the body of work that I've seen, but he threw for over 300 yards against this defense last year. This is a better defense for the Eagles than it was a year ago. But they're going to have to limit the big plays. I think DeSean Jackson is going to try to play, and we all know the damage that he can do in the long passing game. So you have to keep a tab on him and can't let him slip behind the secondary, getting to that second or third level. Their running game is much improved. I don't think their offensive line is all that great, and that lies to the strength of the Eagles because their front seven has been tremendous this year. And on the defensive side of the ball for the Redskins, their secondary has been somewhat porous, and they've given up some big plays. Eli Manning had a big night against them two Thursdays ago. So I think the Eagles are going to win this game. I don't think it's going to be pretty, because I do think to a certain degree that the Redskins are quite improved from last year, but this is a game that the Eagles need to win, and this is a pivotal matchup for the Birds.
You mentioned Kirk Cousins last year against the Eagles, 427 yards for three TDs. Deshaun was taking the top off the defense. Yeah, and that's not a guy that really should do that to you. He's not a top-notch quarterback. But nonetheless, Deshaun's status, it's still up in the air, listed as day-to-day. He did not practice Monday. I think he was limited in practice on Tuesday. But you mentioned their defense. The secondary is what it is. It's, you know, hodgepodge guys together that have been journeymen in the NFL. But up front, they are doubt. Justin Hatcher was a stud for the Cowboys for a while and now is in Washington. Ryan Kerrigan's a fantastic pass rusher on the edge. And then Temple made Terrence Knighton, one of the biggest dudes in the league up front. They have the third-ranked rushing defense in the league. It'll be tough for DeMarco Murray to get it going against those guys.
Definitely. And this doesn't get any easier for the Eagles. You go up against one of the best defensive fronts in the Jets last week, and then you come back the next week and have to go up against another really talented front with the Washington Redskins. That is definitely the strength of that defense, and I think it's a good test for the Eagles because, hey, if this team wants to be a legitimate contender, they have to prove that they're able to establish the running game against some of these top-tier fronts, and they have to run the ball when the defense is expecting it. So this is a good test this week for this offensive line. Will they be able to execute like they did in that first half against the Jets? Will they be able to establish that running game, which will lead to hopefully a more efficient passing game? We'll see. But this is good to see these early season tests against this Eagles offense that doesn't really have that gel factor working in their benefit right now.
The Eagles were let off the hook last week when the Jets bruiser and bell cow, Chris Ivory, couldn't go with an injury, and they got a lot of Bilal Powell and, you know, not great backs in that offense. But Alfred Morris, he's been there for a couple years now. He's been playing well thus far this season, 4.1 yards per carry. And then they combo that up with rookie Matt Jones from Florida at 6'2", 230. He's been a great change of pace for them with 5.3 yards per carry, and he's gotten in the end zone as their goal line back. You know, the Eagles played well against the Jets in the rushing game for whatever that's worth with Bilal Powell at the helm, but it'll be interesting to see how they handle Alfred Morris and Matt Jones.
If you don't wrap up, Eagles are in trouble because these running backs are going to run through arm tackles. They're going to get yards after contact. So there's been multiple instances so far this season where the Eagles have had defenders in the backfield and they haven't been able to wrap up. I thought they did a terrific job of actually bringing down the ball carrier in the backfield and for short yards against the Jets. But as you mentioned, these are more talented running backs. They're a little bit more physical. So wrapping up is going to be essential.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the rushing game. But nonetheless, they've been a better tackling team than I expected. Walter Thurman coming in as a nickel corner that switched to safety. I've been very impressed by his tackling ability. Yeah, he's been really good. And then we got on Byron Maxwell really, really hard the last week. We haven't said much about him this week. He was a little bit improved. Brandon Marshall still managed 10 catches for over 100 yards on a TD, but he made a boneheaded play in the middle of that game that gave the Eagles 7 points. I'd like to see Byron Maxwell, if Deshaun doesn't go and he's matched up with Pierre Garçon, that's more of a guy that matches to his style of football.
How about the play of Nolan Carroll, too? He made a couple of really nice plays deep downfield where he was able to get his hand on the football. He almost came up with an interception in the middle of the field. Also had a couple of good tackles on some running plays as well as some short passing plays. Chip Kelly and the coaching staff were really impressed with what Nolan Carroll did this offseason to improve himself, and he's really shown that. Walter Thurman looks to be a ball hawk. I'm pretty surprised that he's been able to make that seamless transition from a corner to a safety. And it looks like he's been playing that position his whole career. Malcolm Jenkins continues to be just a playmaker, both in the running game and in the passing game. And I think Maxwell gave up only 67 to 70 yards through the air last week. So that was definitely a better mark. It's different when you're going up against Ryan Fitzpatrick as a quarterback because I think all he is a backup. But all you can ask for is that this defense starts to improve a little bit week by week. And that's what they've been doing. Hopefully they can continue that trend against Washington.
All right, we got 45 seconds left. I'm going to hit you with my score prediction. I'm going to say Eagles take it home 30-20. Much improved play from Sam Bradford. Nelson Aguilar gets in on the act a little bit. How about you?
I think the offense finds a little bit of rhythm. They put up 33 points to Washington's 24, and the Eagles move to 2-2 and even out that record.
And at that point, you know, things are looking up. You're on a two-game win streak. You maybe get an injured Drew Brees Saints team. Eagles could be right where they want to be with an injured division. But that'll wrap it up. Temple Made Bird Gang Podcast, Week 3 edition. Catch us next week, same time. Adios, Chase. Good to hear from you.
Yep. Peace.